Matthew chapter 20. I have never preached from this text. 26 years of pastoring this church, I've never preached from this text of Scripture. And it's always been kind of a difficult text. It's called we're going to title this the parable of the laborers. The parable of the laborer. Sometimes it's called the parable of the householder. Just depends on which end of the holler you live on. You can call it anything you want, but it's both of them's in the text. Parable of the laborers. And I think the key to this is a tough text to determine exactly what it's speaking of, but I think that the route that I'm going this morning, I think, is what the passage is designed to teach. Remember, a parable is an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. That's the meaning. It is designed, now I want you to listen real close to this. A parable is designed to teach one basic message. People try to go to a parable and prove 10,000 different things. It's not what a parable is supposed to do. It's designed to teach one basic message. The parable of the prodigal son, you know what the message of that was? The reception, the great joy by which the Lord receives a repentant sinner. That's the only reason, that's the purpose of the parable. People go to him and try to prove so many different things, but it's designed to teach one basic doctrine. And that's what you're trying to, when you teach a parable, that's what you want to convey to the people that's listening to it. Now, the key to this parable is chapter 19 and verse 30. And I want you to look at this. This is mentioned at the beginning, and this is mentioned at the end. And this will be a key to understanding the parable. Look at verse 30. It says, many that are first shall be last, and many that are last shall be first. And then you roll down into chapter 20, and then it explains what he means by that statement. Everybody with me? Remember, the chapters and verse divisions were placed there by man, and I'm glad they did, or we couldn't find anything. But sometimes they're a good division, and sometimes they're not. This story is linked, actually, with the rich young ruler that we looked at a few weeks ago. Okay, so they're linked together. You see that in verse 30? Many that are first will be last, and last will be first. And then he goes on and tells the parable. Now, when you get down at the end of the parable, in verse 16, it concludes with that same statement with one addition. It says, so shall the last be first, and the first last, for many are called. There's the addition, but few are chosen. So you have that same terminology used at the beginning of the parable and used at the end of the parable, and the parable is designed to explain that statement. That's all it's designed for. Now, I'm going to explain it to you. This is an important text today. Boy, I tell you what, if you see the meaning of it, it will really bless your heart. All right, let's look at the laborers now. Let's begin to look at the first group. Five groups of laborers. We'll call them group A, B, C, D, and E. You'll see that in this particular text as we read down through it. Let's go ahead and look at some of it. Are you with me now? Are you happy? Let's go ahead and get into the text. Let's look at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder. Now, the idea of a householder here is a landowner. He owns a lot of land. He has a lot of crops out in his field, and he needs workers to come into his field and reap the field. So he goes out to get some laborers to work in his vineyard, it says in verse 1. Verse 2 says, in this first group, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. Boy, that's good wages, a penny a day, isn't it? That's the word denarius. It's a Greek word, and it carries the idea of a laboring. It was a good wage. I've read where Roman soldiers received that for one day's work. And Roman soldiers was the best, were very well paid at that particular time. Here's guys going out and working in a field, and they're getting that same amount of wage. So this was a very good wage. One silver coin is basically what it amounts to. It's a good day's wages for a good day's work. He kind of has a contract with these guys. They agree with him. They agree with the landowner to work that day for this particular denarius, this particular amount of pay. We'll just call it one penny for sake of our text. They work one day for that. That was their agreement. Now, when the workday started, and I think that's what you can conclude from this text, the workday would start at 6 a.m. in the morning. Workday would start at 6 a.m. in the morning. So So this group A, that's when they start the work. They agree with the householder, with the landowner, for this one denarius a day. And then they go out at 6 a.m. in the morning and they begin to labor in the field. Is everybody with me? Well, he needs more laborers. Let's look down into verse 3 now. Let's get group B now. Group B. And he went about the third hour. Now, you know what time the third hour is? What time does the day start? 6? Third hour is 9 o'clock. He goes at 9 o'clock in the morning and he goes down to the marketplace. And it goes on and says in verse 3, he went out about the third hour. He saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said, go ye into the vineyard. Whatsoever is right. He don't really have a contract with them. He just says, whatever's right, I'll pay you. I'll be fair to you. You go in the field and you go to work. So the group B, group A goes at 6 a.m. Group B goes at what time? They go at 9 a.m. in the morning, and they don't really have an agreement with him. He just says, you go out and I'll pay you what's fair. I'll pay you what's fair. So that's group B. Now, when they go into marketplace, the reason why he goes to the marketplace is workers would often assemble there in hopes of getting a day's work. You've probably seen old movies here in America where people would stand outside of shipyards and things, and groups of men would stand out in shipyards and things in hopes, and the foremen would come out and they'd pick a few men to go work for that day. And that's what you have here. Men would go to one of the days where that's called day laborers. And they'd go down to the marketplace and they would wait in hopes that some landowner would come and say, hey, go down and work in my field. Put them to work, you know, so they could help support their families. And that's what this group B was. This householder goes down to the marketplace. He sees some men just standing around. Hey, what are you just standing around for? I got work down in my field. Go down there and go to work. At the end of the day, I'll pay you what's fair. Well, he does that 3 more times. Except it goes on to say group C. Group C starts at 12 o'clock. 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Group C starts at 12 o'clock. Group D, in verse 5, starts at 5 o'clock. Or I'm sorry, group D, verse 5, starts at 3 o'clock. And then finally you come down to group E, you see them in 6 and 7. They start at 5 p.m. Now if I was choosing to work for that day, I'd want to be group E. They're going to work 1 hour. They're going to work 1 hour. Group A works all day. 6 a.m., 6 p.m., they pull a 12-hour shift. You ever pull a 12-hour shift? It's sweet. Group B, they start, of course, Group B starts at 9 o'clock that morning. They pull 9 hours, and then the other group starts at noon, and then the other group starts at 3 o'clock. They just work 5 hours. Then the last group just works 1 hour. That's all that they work. Well, the end of the day comes. Everybody understand the parable so far? That's real simple to understand, really, if you write Sunit on the board like I do. But anyway, you see the different groups. They all start the day's labor at different times. You got one group of men that works 12 hours. You got one group of men that only works 1 hour. They only work 1 hour. All right, the end of the day comes. Now, here's where I want you to begin to look at me with me in the Scriptures. Let's look down now at verse 8. Look at verse 8. So when the even was come, the evening time came, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, and the steward was the guy that, you know, steward was the one that run the owner's household. Okay? He run the owner's household. He was his chief servant. He run everything for him, see? It's like he's foreman. He calls his foreman in here. He said, now you get all the laborers together. Call the laborers. Give them their hire. Now remember, the Jews were strict about this. They had laws in the Old Testament scriptures. In the book of Deuteronomy? You wasn't let a man's wages stay overnight with you. You paid him his wages at the end of the day. They got paid every day. So the Jews were strict on that. I mean, it was a dishonor and a sin against the law of Moses if you never paid that man at the end of his day's work. So when his work was done, the evening was done, the landowner says, now you get the laborers together and you give them what is there. You give them this amount of money. He told them how much to give them to. Who determined that was the landowner. And look at verse 8. Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last. All right. You know who got paid first? Who got paid first was Group E. Now you envision yourself. You imagine you're Group A, Mike. You're Group A. You work 10 hours? You agreed for how much? Okay. All right. You're Group A. Boy, you're Group E. You know, out there laboring, you get to tell you, I don't know about you. If I was working in the field and I knew these guys had a contract, I'd say, how much y'all getting paid? How much y'all getting paid? And they say, well, he said he's going to give us a denarius for one day's work. That was good pay. It's good pay. One day's work. We'll give you a denarius. So those guys probably divided that. Don't you imagine, well, if they're getting this much, then for 9 hours I'm going to get this much. And for that's how we do, isn't it? For 5 hours I'm going to get this. We'd had figured out. Son, all of a sudden this last group's first. They only work an hour. They probably just feel like they're just going to get just a little bit. Look at verse 9. It says, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, that's 5 a.m., when they came that were hired at the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Now, you talk about pumped up. You talk about a glad group, a happy group. This group, the landowner, the house, they paid him. They paid them men the same that this Group A was going to get. Now, this Group A didn't know that at this time. Imagine you was in Group A. You're all standing in line. Everybody's getting their pay. Last group goes first. They only work an hour. Group E goes up. They go up to the landowner, and they get a penny. Can you imagine? They're excited about it. Oh, they went away. I mean, that was almost a gift to them. That was a gift to them. They didn't really labor and deserve that penny. Does everybody agree with that? Man, it was a gift of grace, you might as well say, and they're happy. Now imagine if you're Group A. Now wait a minute now. If he give them a penny for an hour's wage, I'm going to get 12 pennies by the time I get up there. Wouldn't you thought that way, Timmy? I would have thought that way. If he was willing to give them boys that much money for 1 hour's wage, then surely he'll forget about what our agreement was and give us 12 pennies. I don't know about you, but that's the way I would have thought. Well, it came to pass. He calls this Group E before him. He gives them a penny. He calls Group D. He gives them a penny. He calls Group C. The ones that start at noon, they get a penny. The ones that start, and on, all the way down to this group. And you know their expectations is probably this big, aren't they? And he hands them a penny. He hands them a penny. And you know what happens? Oh, man. They come absolutely unglued. They think that's absolutely unfair. Notice how disgruntled they are in verse 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. They figured they deserved more because they labored harder and they labored longer. They figured that they deserved more than what they got. And when they had received it, they murmured against verse 11, the householders, saying, the last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them what? You've made them equal to us. Catch that, what they're saying. You've made these people that came in the last hour, you've made them equal to us. They don't deserve to be equal to us. You got that? They don't deserve it. Keep following me now. It's going to make a lot of sense here for you here before long, hopefully for you. Saying, thou hast have wrought but 1 hour, thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered and said, friend, I do you no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take what is yours and go your way. And I will give this last even as I did unto you. It's not lawful for me to do with my own what I will with what I own. Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first shall be last. What's the lesson of this particular parable? I think it's a beautiful lesson. What's the statement mean? The last shall be first and the first shall be last. Look at the illustration. Group A was the first, wasn't they? What'd they get? Group E was the last. What'd they get? The last shall be first. The first shall be last. They all received the exact same benefit. It didn't make any difference what time of day they went into the field to labor for the householder. Every one of them got the exact same benefit. That's what I want you to see. Remember, the key to the parable is the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Look at the board. You see it? Group A, the first, received the same amount. It's a statement which denotes equality. They all received the same. They all received the same benefit. And I think that's the stress of the text. They all got the same benefit. Even though some labored longer and some labored harder, every one of them got the exact same benefit from the householder. Every one of them did. Now, you'll notice, as we mentioned earlier, they even mentioned in the text in verse 12, you have made these equal unto us. What's that a picture of? Well, I'm going to give you a couple pictures from it, but I want to show you a little something. You know, there's sometimes people that are saved, and they serve the Lord 50 years. They do. The Lord saves them a lot. Sometimes, you know when a person saves, the Lord calls you, don't he? You know the Lord calls you out of darkness into his light? 1 Peter 2, 9. Who does that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says that we are called to be saints. The day you were saved is the day the Lord called you. You realized you was a sinner and you trusted the Messiah, Jesus, as your Savior. And sometimes he does that with people at a fairly young age. He might call you when you was in your teenage years, or he might even call you like he did Adam at eight years old. He might do it at 8 years old. And sometimes he'll give that person the opportunity to serve him for 50 years. Well, you know, other times he'll take people and he will call them later on in their life. As a matter of fact, there are some people, now I want you to listen to this, there are some people that the Master calls and saved in the very last hours of their life. In the very last hours of their life. But you want to know a little something? Whether he called you when you was 8 and you served him for 50 years here on earth, or whether he called you in the last 3 hours of your life and saved your soul, every one of his servants gets the same benefit. That's the benefit of salvation and all the benefits that are associated with that. They all get the same one. Now, this is not speaking of rewards. That's another subject. You see, all of these got the same. The stress is on the same benefit. We realize rewards are different. That's another subject. Forget about that right now. All of these servants, it didn't make no difference how long or hard they labored. Each one of them received the exact same benefit from the householder. And folks, that same thing is true of everyone that the Lord calls and saves their soul. Whether you were saved 50 years ago or whether you saved in the last 3 hours of your life, he calls you into his field. He saves your soul. My friend, you get the same exact salvation benefit as the person that's been saved for 50 years. Same ones. I was going to the hospital the other day and we'll give you a couple of illustrations of what I'm talking about. And I seen an old, I got it owned a trucking company that I used to, hadn't seen him since they shut our plant down. But I seen him and I was going up to pray for a little baby. He had been real sick. And then I seen him in the parking lot and he was crying. He had a niece there in the hospital, 29 years old. And she's dying. Just bluntly, she's dying. And he said, yes, she's dying. I said, has she been saved? Does she know the Lord? She said, yes, she was saved 6 weeks ago. She trusted Christ. I said, well, It don't make no difference whether she went onto the field at 6 a.m. or whether she was called in the field at 5 a.m. She gets the same benefit as we do. What's that benefit that we received the day we was called? What is the benefit we get the day we are saved? Eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? The gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life is not something that you've earned. Eternal life is a gift that you receive. Who earned it was Jesus. And whether you were saved 50 years ago or whether you were saved this morning, you'll get the same benefit that I got. That same salvation benefit that I received the day, years ago that I trusted Christ, you'll get the same benefit that I got today. The benefit of eternal life. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Oh, there's people who say, Clarence, tell me about somebody. I don't remember you telling me about him. There's a man that later on in his life, he was dying, and he was asked about his soul, and he said, I just don't think it'd be right for me to be saved now. I've lived my whole life not serving the Lord, so I don't figure it'd be right. Folks, it ain't right for anybody to be saved. Ain't one of us deserve it. It's by His grace. Oh my, that same benefit that I got almost 40 years ago is the same benefit you can receive today, the benefit of eternal life. And all the benefits that goes with that salvation. You know, there's a lot of benefits. A lot of benefits that goes with being saved. It's always important for people to know their benefit package. Do y'all agree? You go to get a job, you're going, when I would be hired for a job, I want to know about my benefits. What kind of benefits I got here? You know what it means? When after you've received the Messiah, after you've trusted Him as your Savior, He gives you eternal life, and there's a lot of benefits that goes with that. You want to know what some of them are? He makes you His child, number one. He makes you His child. Aren't you glad you're a child of the King this morning? Makes you His child. You know the thing He does? He takes away your sin. Your sin debt. That payment you owed because of sin, He takes that away. It's paid for. That's what it means to be redeemed. It's gone. He charges, listen to me now, He charges all your sins to Christ. Romans 4 said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He doesn't charge sin to you. He charged all your sin to Christ. Can't you realize if He didn't do that, one sin would be sufficient to send you to hell for? He had to take care of all of them. And all of that's part of the salvation benefit is all of your sins imputed to Christ. And you know how righteous was Jesus? 100%. And that's another salvation benefit. He clothes you with His righteousness. He gives you His righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? And you know what? Whether you were saved 50 years ago or whether you were saved today, you still got those benefits. We all got the same. Does everybody see it? You say, Jeff, are you forgiven for all your sins? Yes. Do you have eternal life? Yes. Are you a child of the King? Yes. You have the Holy Spirit? Yes. And you know what? If you trusted Christ 2 hours ago or trusting this morning, you'll get those exact same benefits. You'll get those exact same benefits. Turn to Luke chapter 23. It's wonderful. Oh, my. Luke chapter 23. We're going to talk here in just a little bit about the disgruntled workers. They picture a group of people too. Poor thief on the cross. There's been people trying to get him lost for 2,000 years. Truthfully. They've been trying to get that poor man lost for 2,000 years when it's so crystal clear that he went to heaven. You know why they're trying to get him lost? Because he was saved in the last 3 hours of his life. There was absolutely nothing he could do to earn his salvation either. He's a clear example of salvation by grace through faith. It wasn't through an ordinance. It wasn't through the waters of baptism. It wasn't through church membership. It was through faith in the Messiah that died next to him. Clearly, there's your example. So people's been trying to get that poor man lost for years. They really have. Jesus said in the last hour, I believe it was the last three hours. He looks over at the master and he said, "Lord, I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom." He realized, look at all he's seen. He realized he was a king if he had a kingdom. He realized there's a life after this one. And he wanted to be a part of it. Now, I figure he probably felt like he was too bad to go, though, don't you? So he said, "Lord, when you get there, would you remember me?" Jesus said, "Hey, today you'll be with me. Today you'll be with me." He's like Group E. He was called into the field at 5 o'clock. But you know what? He got the same benefit that Simon Peter and James and Paul and all the apostles got. They might have labored longer and harder. But your benefit is not based on your how long you labor or how hard you work. It's based on the grace of the householder. Everybody see it? Worth coming through the snow to see that. Because you need to remember that's a very important lesson. You say, "That thief was saved." Absolutely, you say. Word paradise, you can read in the book of 2 Corinthians, just another word for heaven. Another word for the third heaven, the abode of the heavenly Father. He took him to heaven that day, and I tell you what, though it was down here, didn't make any difference. He still got the same benefit. Isn't that wonderful? Number two. The benefit was not based on how long they labored or how hard they worked. It was based on the grace of the householder. Does everybody see that? Group E didn't deserve it. Neither did Group A. It was based on what the householder gave. And they all got the same thing. They all got the same kind of benefits. And you know why this runs out of Luke chapter 19? Or I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 19. You know why it runs out of that? What did the rich young ruler say? "What good thing can I do that I may merit eternal life?" You don't merit it. When he walked off, Simon Peter asked him the question in Matthew 19, "What shall be ours? We've left everything and followed you." This is Simon Peter's answer to his question. Benefits of salvation, folks, not based on how hard you work or how long you labor. It's based on the grace of the Lord. This, actually, the parable of the laborers is a message of grace. All right, let's talk a little bit about these disgruntled workers, because we have them today. There's a lot. I've run into a lot of them. They don't like me. Well, I don't care whether they like me or not, to be honest with you. I don't. But they don't like me. And one of the things else I've been told is why I don't put much stock in deathbed confessions. You ever heard anybody say that? I don't put much stock in that stuff. You know why they're saying that? They think they deserve more because they've labored longer and harder. They think they're going to gain acceptance with the Lord because they've labored so hard. They're in a dangerous position. They're in a dangerous situation. Yeah, they're disgruntled. You know, they think that their eternal life, their heavenly benefits, they think they earned those. They deserve them. "Man, I labored under the hot of the sun, and I've done this for the Lord for 50 years. I deserve heaven." Hey, there ain't nobody deserves heaven. None of us do. Nobody does. No man does. It's all a gift of the grace of God. It's all a gift of the grace of God. And there's a lot of disgruntled people today with regard to that. You know who they remind me of? They're the same group of people. They're just like the elder brother. They're just like the elder brother. Remember, the prodigal son repents of his sin. And he comes to himself. Picture salvation. He realizes he's lost and unworthy and undone. And he runs to salvation. He runs to his father. And why? He's a great way off. The father just runs to him. That's the reception every repentant sinner gets. when they repent of their sin and come to the Father. Well, he says, take off that old dirty stinking robe off of him. You put a new robe on him. You put shoes on his feet. You put a ring on his finger. This is my son. Remember it? And then that old heathen come in from out of the field, that old elder brother that should have rejoiced at his at the grace of the Father. What did he do? He was upset. He was angry. He was just like these disgruntled workers. You know what the elder brother figured? That he don't deserve that. But I do. I never did like he did. I never wasted your money with the harlots of the world. I never did those things. I deserve what I'm getting. He don't deserve it. He was disgruntled. Same group. This group here, the disgruntled worker, just like the elder brother. They the same group of people, and we got a lot of them today. They are the exact same people that think because they labor so hard and so long that they are earning their way to heaven. And that they deserve it. I was listening to someone the other day talk. I was at a hospital, and they said, well, they're certainly going to be with the Lord. They lived and earned it. They didn't live and earn it. You say, well, you saying you don't live for the Lord? Absolutely not. But I'm not living for the Lord to earn my salvation. I'm living for the Lord because He gave me salvation. If I was living for the Lord to get my salvation, I'd be saving myself, for crying out loud. Salvation was a gift that was purchased by the Messiah. And there's going to be a lot of disgruntled people one day. I'm going to tell you that right now. These didn't deserve it. These didn't deserve it. Because they didn't labor as long and hard as we did. It's not based on that, folks. It's not based on that. It's based upon the grace of the householder. We receive the exact same benefit. You say, Jeff, why is this message important? Well, it's very important. It's a very good text. It's a picture of grace. Does everybody see it? And you'd be surprised at the number of people you'll deal with in hospital beds and things that are in the last days of their life, and they'll say, listen, I don't deserve to be saved. I'll tell you that. I don't think it'd be right, me being saved now. I've served the devil for all these years. It wouldn't be right for me to do it now. They need to be told this parable. They need to be told this. Hey, buddy, you trust the Messiah. You go into His field even if for an hour. You'll get the same benefit that the other laborers are getting to. Oh, somebody say amen. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? It's all based on His grace. It's all based on His grace. That's exactly what that's designed to show. It's not about rewards. It's about servants receiving the same benefits. Not based on their labor or how long, but rather based upon the grace of the householder. All God's people say. Well, as I've come to an end of this message, I don't know how it is with your soul today. I don't know whether you're saved or not. But you know I'm saved. And that's one of the things I'm thankful for. I don't wish or think or hope. I know. I think a man, a woman, boy or girl, I think you got to know. I got to know. Do you know? Beyond a doubt, my friend, that if the Lord would come or if you would die, do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you have this benefit of salvation? Do you know? Do you know? If you're here today and maybe you've drifted out of the line, drifted off the path, and you're not serving the Lord as you once did. Oh, don't you wish you would always stay constant? Don't you wish? Now, if you stay constant, come up and tell me about after church, and I'd just absolutely love to shake your hand. People don't stay constant because, now I'm going to tell you why, because you live in a body of flesh filled with different emotions and different things hit you, and sometimes your spirituality just is not what it should be. And then the Lord will show you that. We'll talk about this next Sunday morning. I'm going to give you five signs of being backslidden. Five signs of being backslidden next week. You come next Sunday morning and hear that. But maybe one of the things that happens is you lose your joy. You lose all your joy and your closeness with God. Well, you can get that back. You can be you can be just as close to the Lord as you want to be. And the closer you get to Him, the happier you are. Maybe you're here today and maybe you're saved, you've been called to the field, but you've just drifted. Well, you don't have to come and tell me about that. You can tell the Lord about it. He already knows it anyway. Just say, Lord, forgive me. I want to start serving you again. Start serving again. Back in His Word, back in His house, back around His people. You still got the same benefit. As long as you're living, you know you're supposed to be working in the Lord's fields. You know, as long as you're living, you're on active duty. You're not on inactive duty till after you die. I want to serve the Lord up until I take my last breath. I hope He allows me to preach my last message and then go home and die. I hope that's how it works. But I want to serve Him all the days of my life. To get saved? No, because I am. And I want other people to have the same benefit that I have. Same victory over the grave and forgiveness of sins and grace that I have. I want them to have that. How about you? Let's all stand. Well, I'm going to let you out 12 minutes early. Be wonderful if it was raise time, wouldn't it?